was 2-1 for the Dallas Stars, or for Colorado Dallas Stars. And, you know, this series has been, well, all three have been crazy, down 3-1, and everyone's coming back and forth in a game seven. But who do you think's more pressure tonight, Colorado or Dallas in this game?
Well, I think anytime you're up 3-1 in a series and the team comes back to force a game seven, I think you've got lots of pressure on you not to blow it. So I think Colorado, if they win this game, they've done something incredible. If they don't win this game, well, they almost did something incredible. Whereas Dallas, you got to win, or you look foolish. Maybe foolish is a little bit harsh, but you know what I mean. Like, not very many teams allow other groups to come back from 3-1 and win a series. So, you know, there's equal pressure on both these franchises to get through to the next round, but more pressure in this game because they were up 3-1 in the series, I would think.
Yeah, your point's well made. I think that you know, all the teams are probably facing that. When you look at the game with Canucks in Vegas last night, I made the point yesterday, Juha Kara, he's not a goal scorer. He's had 9 goals in the last 2 years, albeit I think it was in 120 games or whatever you want to call it. But I think we can agree he's not a goal scorer. But if you're not killing penalties, what are you bringing to the game? And my example is last night I watched that Canucks game. Elias Pettersson was in front screening the goalie for 2 goals. Their most offensive forward is the guy in front screening the goals. Like, that is a case of contributing when maybe the points aren't coming easy for you. And that's, you know, and that's not just for Juha, but I think across the lineup, the Oilers could be watching that, learning, saying, guys, look, whatever my core that got me to NHL, is there not something else I can do to help the team and maybe out of my comfort zone to support them?
So I'll say a name to you. You talk about Pettersson. I'll say another name to you, a guy that I would happily take on my playoff team anytime, Jonathan Marchessault.
Yeah.
So when you see the tenacity that he plays the game with, so first of all, he's got lots of skill, and I'm not comparing him to Juha Kara. The example that I use with Marchessault is that, you know, every shift he's just trying to get something done, and he's doing it with this crazed effort level, this intensity level, and this desire and this elevation of his sense of urgency, right? When you're a fourth line player and you don't produce offense, you have to find that. You have to bring that. That sense of urgency, that intensity level, that absolute desperate hustle. There is no such thing as a desperate level of hustle in Juha Kara's game. It doesn't exist. He's way too nonchalant, way too laid back, and there's not nearly enough sense of urgency in his game. And I don't know, maybe we just haven't seen him play in enough meaningful ones, but do you think you could drop Juha Kara into that Vancouver series and have him do a thing? Because from what I've seen from him, the answer to that is a firm no. Because I don't know what I've seen from him that would lead me to believe he could elevate to the level that's required to be a good depth player on either in this series. Right? He just doesn't seem to have that. So if you're not killing penalties and you're not bringing that, sure, can you be an okay fourth line player for the regular season? Yeah. But are you going to get anything done in the playoffs? And I guess that would be my question about Kara. Even if you can get 6 or 8 goals from him during the regular season, if you could, do you see him as a guy that's going to be able to elevate to what we're watching right now?
Yeah, and I 100% we're going to get it. I think that when you look at the bottom 6 footers, I think Josh Archibald plays with some urgency. You know, he gets on pucks.
Absolutely.
And he makes it happen. You know, I think Riley Sheahan is a different type of player. I don't think that he has that in his game. You know, Anthesiou, if he's returning, I think he'll be in that bottom 6. So he can, you know, we saw it for 8 minutes, the last 8 minutes of the Hawks series, but you know, I think you'd like to see it from him. But when you start going through the lineup in that bottom 6, I think there has to be guys that bring it. You know, you look at Tampa with, the additions they made of, Barkley, Goodrow, and Coleman. Those guys, I would say they're immensely physical, but they're goers. They're goers like Archibald. They're always going. And maybe Ken Holland is hoping that maybe a guy like Gaetan Haas and or Nygaard can bring that type of thing, that type of flow, like what Patrick Russell brings, although he's limited in a little way too. But, you know, maybe that's the type of change you have to make in that bottom 6, and a guy like Juha would become expendable.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't want to be too hard on him, but it's just – he's had the opportunity sitting in front of him for basically three seasons to grab a third-line spot in the NHL, even to grab a fourth-line full-time spot in the NHL. And he hasn't been able to do it through multiple coaches, you know, right. different systems, different line mates, different. He just has never really grabbed onto it. Is he a winger? Is he a center? Do we even know yet? It's just a bunch of, to me, it's just a bunch of opportunity not grabbed. So, I mean, whether he's part of the plan next year or not, I'm not sure. It's not going to make the difference between being a playoff team or not. And he may come back and find a little bit of what I'm talking about, and there's an NHL player there. I guess maybe that's why it's frustrating, is because there's an NHL player there. I think he's got okay hands, but he's got size. He can take care of himself. He can hit when he wants to. I think there's the makings of an NHL player there. So, to your point about the fourth line, yeah, you want guys that have an engine. You want guys, to me, you want guys that can skate, that are fast. I'm not sold yet on Nygaard. Yeah. I'm not sold on him yet. I hear people suggesting he should be McDavid's winger. I don't understand. I think we need to figure out if the guy can play in the NHL first. Like, let's give him a stretch of, you know, a long time in the NHL where he stays healthy and can actually, you know, prove that there's anything other than really nice wheels and you know, for him to be able to show that he can hold down a spot. Because I like the speed and I like the way he skates and all of those things, but it's just such a small body of work at this point. I don't know if I mean, people were slotting him in on the team's second line on the return to play. Like, I just don't see it. I don't understand where this is coming from. Let's figure out if he can play in the league first, don't you think?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I'm not that. I think you got to get just in the lineup, and then you work your way up the lineup. You know, I think that's the big difference. And, you know, I do get a little bit nervous, you know, Greg's. And you know, he's talked about maybe that Gaetan Haas can be a third-line center. And, you know, I don't know that
absolutely
that's...
Absolutely not.
Yeah, to me, that's...
Absolutely not, with respect to Greg's.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, he's not here to defend himself,
like,
so I don't want to throw him under the bus. But like the challenge is that he doesn't have a lot of experience. Not Griggs, but Gaetan Haas, right? And to me, is it that much better than Riley Sheahan? And can he? You know, that spot should probably be a number one penalty killer. So is he going out there with Josh Archibald to kill penalties? I'd be a little bit worried about that.
So if the Oilers say they don't, okay, if you're Ken Holland, you say, we don't need to go get a third-line center because we have Gaetan Haas, you're making a mistake. So if they can't find one and it doesn't make sense for them to pull the trigger on one, and so they say, well, we'll have to see if Haas can do it for now, that's a different discussion, right? That's a discussion about, well, the guy that we needed wasn't available and we couldn't give up the assets right now and we might have lost him in the expansion draft anyway, and, right? But to sit there and say, we don't need to go get one because we have this,
mm-hmm. right.
That's a mistake to me, a bad one.
No, I agree. Talking with Ryan Michalk, Bureau Chief of TSN, breaking down the world of NHL. Pretty big Game 7 when you look at the mighty Golden Knights versus the Canucks. Which goalie would you have in the pipes if you're head coach Pete DeBoer of the Golden Knights? Would it be the guy that has played so well and been a newcomer to your team, or the guy whose agent put a picture on Twitter of you of a sword with your name on it?
Yeah, well, I think they're at the point where the Twitter stuff doesn't matter and doesn't factor into it at all. I think you can take that and throw it out the window. He's just got to decide which guy can get him a better game. So there are three factors. One, the other guy's lost back-to-back games. So just on that alone, I would understand them making a switch. Two, back-to-back games, right, in back-to-back days. So right there, that's another reason why you would consider making a switch. And three, when Fleury came in and played after a long layoff, he won. And he wasn't spectacular, but he won. So any one of those three reasons, Stretti, you could understand making a switch, let alone there being three reasons staring us in the face. So to me, I think they'll go with Fleury. I think there's three reasons to do it. I don't know what he's going to do, but that would be my guess. You?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean,
and for which of those reasons? Which of those three reasons to you?
Well, when I'm looking at it from this distance, I do the back-to-back is a concern. And then I think there's an emotional lift if you put Fleury in there. I really do.
Yep.
And I think if you slip him in there, there's an emotional lift he's gone through. And, you know, you can't – the thing about the tweet, I think that has to be dealt with off-season. And yeah, I personally feel from a distance that Fleury can't come back to the team. That's how I feel. It's, you know, it's a big deal. He's the face of the franchise. I understand all that stuff. But, you know, if that was me and my agent put that up and I didn't like it, I would have called him and told him, one, take it down, two, you're fired. It would have been just that quick. Like, yeah. It'd just been boom, boom, you're done. Because it really makes me look back, because now as a player, you have to answer questions. But the fact that it stayed up for a whole day before it was taken down, tells me that, you know, Fleury wasn't really that upset about it. He felt that way. And I get your feelings are hurt, but you're in the middle of the playoffs. And it's all about winning. Everyone contributing. How often in NHL do you hear like, oh, I did this, I did that? You know, hear it in other sports. And there's some different sports and different cultures. I get that. But in hockey, you never hear about someone, look what I did, everybody. And that was just really disappointing. But it's past that time. Yeah. I'm off on a tangent. But I think with all the reasons you mentioned, I think they all add up. But I think you have to just park it, because right now it's about winning. And I think Fleury gives you the best chance with the emotional lift he'll bring. And he did play well.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that whole thing was interesting. Like, so Walsh tweeted what he tweeted, and Fleury allowed it to stay up and allowed it to be a pretty significant distraction. Decides the next morning, whether it was he deciding it or the team, they're going to do a media availability with just him. So then he gets out there and says, well, I told the agent to take it down, and he did. Like, that's supposed to just make everything okay. Well, what about the 18 hours or 16 hours that it was up, right? So here you are in the playoffs at a point in the season where, especially as a goaltender, because goaltenders, you know, they either play or they don't, they get asked to put the team in front of themselves all the time. And so there's no more important time of year, and something happens that indicates you're putting yourself so far out in front of the rest of your team. And I didn't think Fleury had that gear. I didn't think that was part of his makeup. So you can say, well, it wasn't him, it was the agent. Well, yeah, but if he didn't like it, he'd have had him take it down. So there's something that didn't make sense. And then Lehner says, well, we had a laugh about it. And Fleury says, oh, yeah, we had a laugh about it. And then Lehner absolutely obliterates Alan Walsh. So how's that between Lehner and Fleury?
Yeah.
Right? So now it's all, this guy's been my agent forever. And so, you know, whatever, he sticks up for his guys, right? And then Lehner and Fleury are apparently fine, yet Lehner torches Walsh. So it's just the whole thing. But to the overall conversation, none of that can have a bearing on the decision that gets made tonight. I mean, Peter DeBoer needs to put the guy in that he thinks gives his team the best chance of winning, regardless of contracts and the franchise moving forward and any of that. They got to win a game, because this team has a chance to win a Stanley Cup. If they can win this game tonight, they got a chance to win a Stanley Cup. So I think you got to just, you put the guy in that you think is going to get it done for you. And I don't know what you think, Struds. Whoever they put in net isn't going to have to be fantastic tonight. He just needs to give them a game, give them a half-decent game. And Vegas is going to go do its thing. And really, the difference between what we're talking about on Tuesday is going to be the Canucks goaltending. And if they could pull another rabbit out, then we'll be talking about an upset. If they can't, it might not be close.
Quickly, who wins the game tonight, Vegas or Canucks?
Yeah, I'm going to say, because it's back-to-back, that it's going to be hard for Demko to duplicate his performance. I think that's going to be really hard to do on back-to-back nights. And I think, because I think Vegas is a better team, I think Vancouver's done incredibly well. And I don't know about you, Struddy, but we've been watching this team learn and grow right before our eyes. Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson, Bo Horvat, Brock Besser, these young players. It's been amazing to watch them improve from one game to another and learn lessons. So they're playing with house money as far as I'm concerned. But I think Vegas, because of the back-to-back, I don't think they're going to get their show run by the goaltender again.
You feel the exact same way as I do, Shocker. Thanks for that. Have a great long weekend. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
Yeah, you too, pal. The days are getting closer and closer for you and I to walk the plank, eh?
They are. We're over halfway there, buddy. And so it's going to happen. So drink a lot this weekend so it doesn't hurt so much.
Yeah, I will. All right, have a great one, pal. See you.